Welcome to this special Christmas edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. For over 86 years, this radio program has been endeavoring to pierce the darkness with the light of the love of Jesus. I hope you enjoy the Christmas programs that we have scheduled for you during the month of December. Again, thanks so much for joining us for this special Christmas edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. The word worship simply means, in the original, worth it. Certainly Jesus is worth it. He is worth our worship. What an incredible arrangement of that great hymn and Christmas carol by Greater Vision. Thank you so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. We're featuring Greater Vision throughout the month of December, at least through Christmas weekend. Beautiful traditional Christmas carols accompanied by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra of London, England. Thank you for praying for us as during these days of December, we're spending time with family and spending a lot of time at home. And that's something we enjoy. And I hope that you'll pray for Lohman Ministries and the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Pray about sending a gift that would enable us to stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, lohmanministries.org, and you can give through Venmo or PayPal. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful today for what you have done for us through the greatest gift of all, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray that during these holiday days that we will remember to keep Christ as the focal point of the season. We love you today and we thank you for all you've done for us. We're indeed a blessed people. Even in the midst of all the chaos, we're still the greatest nation and probably the most blessed people in the world. We give you thanks today. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that you're having a good time with family and friends during these December days. And I hope that you enjoy the lights of spiritual guidance today. I'm continuing the sermon that I preached last month in the state of Illinois in a revival meeting titled Boldness. And I hope it will challenge you. And I hope you enjoy the other music that we have and the reading that we have as well. May God bless you. As you continue listening, don't forget to write to us. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Social gatherings during Advent can seem almost magical. An ambiance of excitement and anticipation is created by beautifully decorated homes, the sound of carols playing, carefully prepared food, and lively conversation. I read of a gathering of people for Christmas, and they were chatting when a man by the name of Robert walked into the room. He was in his early 50s. It was very obvious he was well-liked by the people present. He was described with adjectives and phrases such as friendly, an astute business leader, and a good family man. Then one of the women added, "Yes, but isn't it disgusting that he has no wrinkles on his face, while the rest of us find a new wrinkle daily?" It was at that point that Robert's friend and associate replied, "More important, he has no wrinkles on his soul." That's a phrase that should tug at our hearts. No wrinkles on your soul. May we love God in the busyness of this season and in being enabled by His Spirit to stay focused upon the gifts that God has given to us so that our lives may be free of clutter, that we might not have any wrinkles on our souls.
say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. They look it up and saw shining in the east, beyond them far, and to the earth it gave great light, and so it continued both day and night. Noel, Noel, Noel.
The narrative continues. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, verse 13, and realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin. Then they conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign. We cannot deny that. But to stop this thing from spreading any further, like they really could, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And look at verse 20. As for us, Peter and John said, we cannot help speaking about that which we have seen and that which we have heard. You see, Peter and John had spent 3.5 years with Jesus. They knew his life. They'd seen him perform miracles. They'd sat at his feet as he imparted into them his wisdom, the business of the kingdom, the essence of the kingdom of God. And he says, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and what we have heard. Remember this. Bold people are spirit-filled people. Bold people spend a lot of time with Jesus. It doesn't take long to find out what's most important in a person's life. It shows up in their conversation. What they talk about, who they talk about. And if a person has been in touch with Jesus and he is in relationship, or she is in intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, sooner or later in the conversation, something's going to be said about that relationship that individual has with Jesus Christ. That's what happened to Peter and John here. They had spent time with Jesus. Bold people spend time with Jesus. Let's continue the narrative. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, I want you to take note of what they did. Now remember, the religious leaders had told them to no longer speak in the name of Jesus. They had told them to no longer come into the temple and share the message of the kingdom of God. You do understand that those religious leaders had the power to ban these Jewish men and women from even coming into the temple to pray and offer sacrifice. That was one of the things that the Jewish population was most afraid of, being banned from the temple so they could no longer worship their one true God. So you might have thought that when these Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, when they said, don't come in here any longer with that message about Jesus, don't speak in his name, anymore, don't teach in his name anymore. You would have thought they would have walked away with that warning ringing in their ears. And when they went back to the rest of the members of this first century church, they would have said, well, we've got to rethink our methodology. We've got to rethink how we're going to do this. We can't go to the temple anymore. They banned us from the temple. Maybe we ought to go outside the walls of Jerusalem. Maybe we should go to the surrounding villages and countryside and share the gospel there. Maybe that's what we should do. Is that what they did? Did they have a committee meeting that they try to figure out a different mode of operation? Absolutely not. Notice what they did. It's imperative that we notice this. When they heard the report of Peter and John, what did they do? They raised their voices together in prayer. Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth, quoting Psalm chapter 2. Now look at verse 29, what we read in your hearing earlier. Now, Lord, consider their threats. Makes a little more sense now, doesn't it? Consider their threats. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal. Perform signs, wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. No reservation. No cowering. This is the first recorded prayer of the first century church. The first recorded corporate prayer of the first century church. What is their prayer for? Protection? No. What is their prayer for? Blessings? No. What is their prayer for? Healing? No. When the Lord put me into this passage of Scripture a few years ago, I lived in it for several weeks, maybe a couple of months. Just read it over and over and over and over again. And it occurred to me as I read through this passage of Scripture that in all of my years of being a Christian and all of my years of being a minister of the gospel, regrettably, I could never, ever remember praying this prayer. Oh, I prayed that God would anoint my preaching. I prayed that God would bless this ministry. I prayed that God would heal when my wife got breast cancer. I prayed that God would protect our children and our grandchildren. All those are noteworthy and respectable prayers. We do pray those kinds of prayers, and it's okay. But I never said, Lord, enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. I don't think the first century church would have made it out of the first century if they hadn't prayed that prayer. Think about the way we pray. And I just mentioned them. Most of our prayers are, help me, heal me, bless me, keep me, watch over me, prayers. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But I do have to wonder, what would happen in the Church of Jesus Christ today if all of us who profess to name him as our Lord and Savior, if all of us who do that, we would just for a time, maybe a week, if we would just, and you alluded to it, Pastor Bud, last night, as a matter of fact, in our prayer meeting, what if we were to just take all of those help me, bless me, keep me, watch over me prayers, heal me prayers, and we would just put them on the shelf just for a short period of time and concentrate on praying one prayer. Lord, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. I wonder what that would do to the church. I wonder how that would impact the community. I wonder. Bold people are spirit-filled people. Bold people spend a lot of time with Jesus. Bold people are praying people. Story continues. Jerusalem is astir with what is happening as a result of the ministry of these apostles. Persecution ramps up from the Sanhedrin. But the excitement and the growth of the first century church continues. So the Jewish religious leaders, they have all 12 of the apostles arrested. Chapter 5 now, verse 17. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy toward the apostles. Doesn't say that, but that's what it was. They arrested the apostles and had them put in public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. And I want you to notice, take note of what the angel said to the apostles. He said, when he freed them from jail, go stand where? In the temple courts, where they had been forbidden to speak in the name of Jesus. This is where the story gets a bit humorous for me. Because the Sanhedrin met, and they sent the soldiers down to bring those 12 apostles before the Sanhedrin. They were going to be put on trial. And when the report comes back that although the guards were by the jail cell where they were being kept, those apostles were not in the jail cell. They had been delivered. How that happened and they didn't know, I don't know. But they weren't there. And then someone else comes in and says, those 12 apostles, those 12 men that you arrested, they're over in the temple. And one of the captains of the guard and some of his soldiers, they went to the temple. Try and envision this. There they are. People have gathered around them. They're sharing the name of Jesus. They're speaking in the name of Jesus. And that captain of the guard, he surveys the situation. He knows what's happened there. He knows that that man had been healed, had been lame all of his life. He knows how the people have responded to that. He knows what's gone on before. And he sees that crowd of people gathered around those 12 apostles. In my imagination, I think it went something like this. The captain of the guard says, excuse me. You, excuse me. And I see one of the apostles turn and look and see him. Yes, sir. What can we do for you? And the captain of the guard looks and says, would you 12 men mind arresting yourselves? Lane, it doesn't say that. Well, not directly. But look at the passage. It says in verse 26, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people might stone them. The apostles were brought in, verse 27 of chapter 5, made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching, determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Well, they were guilty. They were the ones who incited the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Verse 29, Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. Bold people are spirit-filled people. Bold people spend a lot of time with Jesus. Bold people are praying people. And bold people are obedient people. They live obedient lifestyles. Verse 32, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey Him. What do we have here? We have the epicenter of Jewish authority facing down unlearned, uneducated apostles. And those Spirit-filled apostles will not back down. We must obey God rather than you. Bold people are obedient people. Then something very interesting happens. A man by the name of Gamaliel steps forward. You remember that name from the writings of the Apostle Paul? Paul referenced Gamaliel. He said, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He got his Pharisaical training at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a trainer of Pharisees. Gamaliel steps forward and he addresses the Sanhedrin and he says, gentlemen, let me have your attention. Do you remember Thutis? And do you remember Judas the Galilean? Do you remember how they tried to change some of our rules and regulations regarding census and taxes? Do you remember how they were killed in the process? And then he goes and he tells them, therefore, in this present case, verse 38, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God.
Thanks so much for listening to this special Christmas edition of The Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take just a few minutes to pray about making The Lights of Spiritual Guidance a part of your Christmas giving. We are a listener-supported, faith-based radio program, and we depend upon our listening audience to keep us on this radio station. So you can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. I hope you'll find some place to worship this weekend. I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches in the state of Illinois: Faith Chapel and Carrier Mills, in the state of Kentucky, Churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association, in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. May God richly bless you. And don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.